Think we're about. We got about a minute. Just enough time for John and Barbara to sign in.
Is your time the same as that?
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's working.
The youngest, and he's 15. And Roger's kids will go over there Christmas Day. They're all they live in they live in Glen Elm. They live in outside of Chicago. Yeah, you guys are singing today? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, John. Welcome.
Somebody has some keys.
Yeah, because they weren't here when we came in.
They weren't here yesterday.
How did you get here?
Well, I have a key to the side door, but if you couldn't get in this door, if you opened that up, the younger guy called.
We went in, we came in through the sanctuary and then came through. That was open. So anyway, we're just discussing how we got into the building this morning. Okay, we're here. Let's just take a moment. What I like to do is just get a sense of our connection with one another. All these beings who are reaching for the light, as well as being touched by the light. It's always in motion. That my capacity for unconditional love is continually being stretched. So that in this moment I can hold a little bit more than I could a moment ago. And not only does that bless me, but it blesses all beings. And for that and for all things, we are grateful. So, anybody got any leftover stuff from last week or weeks before? Or so I'm going to begin on the bottom of page 205. And if you don't have a book, that's okay, because it'll read it out loud anyway. And please keep in mind, and I have to keep this in mind myself, even though I'm the kind of the designated reader here, is that we're talking about, not talking about, we're experiencing vibration. So it goes beyond thought, goes beyond feeling, it goes beyond, sometimes it goes beyond human explanation. Sometimes it's a good thing that I don't understand. Because then, because I don't know about you guys, but my head gets in the way an awful lot. Anyway, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this with you, because couldn't do it without you.
Great.
Which is kind of interesting. I could be sitting here all by myself, and it wouldn't be worth half as much as it is sitting with you. The guides are claiming this. We're saying this to Paul. The freedom that you seek as the one claiming, interesting that they would put those two things together, freedom, claiming, has been reminded to you through the exchange with Paul. And the resistance you have, you may encounter again and again and again, is actually something that you must listen to. Me? Resistance? What? Why do you resist? What do you get from it? What is the purpose, and why do you fight yourselves? It is much easier to close the book and deny you read the text than to assume that you may have an impediment to your own travels in your own resistance. The climate you rise to as you go up the mountain does not realize itself in fear and does not condone or know a lie. It does not exist. If you can imagine going to a country where everybody spoke the truth, then it would be where you come to. How do I resist the truth? I'll tell you how I do it, because in case you're missing a piece yourself, my continuing life lesson seems to be the expression of my, what my ego or what my personality calls my not enoughness. I'll give you an example of that. A couple of days ago, actually, Margo and I were at a Christmas gathering, and our teacher was asking everybody just to go around the room and to say what they were thankful for within themselves and outside of themselves. So it came to be Margot's turn. She said she was grateful for her own inner peace. And outside of herself, she said, I'm grateful for Jerry. And I hear that a lot, but I'm still surprised. I'm gratified, but hit that point of, I wasn't questioning what she was saying, because I know that's true. But there was this little kind of like, that little buzzer that kind of went off and said, is that for real? It's like here in Unity, one of the prayers we end our service with is, it ends with this phrase, wherever God is, I am divine. And I know that that's true, but do I really believe that that's true? That's my question sometimes. I know I am divine. Do I really believe that? And again, I'm not saying that as a put down or as a come down. I'm saying, you know, that's to me, that's just an indication of my own resistance, how it shows up. And it shows up by pushing away, interestingly enough, pushing away what I desire the most. I desire to be unconditionally loved. And yet at the same time, there's kind of like a part of me, oh Lord, I am not worthy. That horrible piece that we've translated in so many wrong directions. So what this is asking us to do is, without fear, without blame, without judgment, can you become aware of your resistance to truth? And I won't say find some ways, because that's involving the intellect again. This is not an intellectual procedure, but discovering what my, where some of my resistance might be, and opening myself up to allowing that resistance to be removed. Because I don't do that. I can create it myself. I can create the resistance from my little consciousness, but I can't get rid of it with my little consciousness. So the whole idea of surrender, for me anyway, is opening myself up to allowing that woundedness, that not enoughness, whatever words you want to use for that, to allow that to be taken away or to be healed or to be transformed. I can't do that myself. How does that peace and recovery goes? God could and would if he were sought. God, higher power, divine consciousness, Christ consciousness, whatever words you want to use for that. But what this is suggesting is, don't deny your resistance. If it's there, it's there. You don't defeat it. But the only way it's going to heal is by recognizing that it's there in the first place. Yeah, well.
Yeah, I was going to say, what came to mind for me?
You might just,
So what came to mind for me was, this idea of
being really trying to think about
my life, slowing down, something not working, outside, or whatever. Noticing that is always a percent of resistance, and that, I've always, it seems like it's going to be, and just, but also, learning to love that.
What was it again?
Learning to also accept and love the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if I see that in myself, that woundedness or those little spots during the day, when just thinking of a coffee that was coming out. But noticing it and being real tender with it, and I see it as an opportunity to nurture that little spot in me.
I think that's exactly what this is getting at, right? Is to even, as you said, to embrace our resistance.
And in that moment, it's oh yeah, there's that spark of the divine, my mother, father, self, able to hold the wounded part.
Mm-hmm.
It's constant. It's small little, throughout the day, little turns. Oh, okay. That's just what came up.
Yeah, well, it's like this little part of me that's crying out for recognition, and it's not a bad thing.
Right.
It's just an expression of, in some ways, it's an expression of my own woundedness, right? And the only way my own woundedness is going to heal is by bringing it up to the light.
And being really tender with it too. Mm-hmm. Because there's been a past, sort of that comes up and you're ugh, I want to get rid of that. And there's that resistance that you're talking
about. If nothing else, right. If that was another person or a little baby,
right.
We'd be tremendously loving and compassionate, right?
Yeah.
But it turns out to be part of ourselves. Oh, that's not right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks for sharing that.
For sure.
So what we're talking about is, hang on a second, is just embracing our resistance. And by doing so, allowing it to heal. My work is not the healing part of things. My work, the steps in my work come about embracing my resistance and then allowing my higher consciousness to kind of move in and do the healing work. Because I can't, again, I can't do that by myself. Yeah, Diane?
I just want to say that since I can remember, I've been crying out for acceptance. I have done that my entire life. I think my mother even passed away, and I still couldn't win her over. So I remember. But I was looking in the wrong place. I think I was looking here on the earth in people and in the world. And I found that to resist that was to accept the spiritual love, God's love.
Mm-hmm.
That was my resistance is so, because this world is so real. These people are so real. What they say is so real. How they make you feel is so real. And I don't feel that way in God's presence at all.
Most of us, well, first of all, we are born. When I say born, I mean partly our physical birth, but partly just our incarnation here on planet Earth. We are born with a sense of connectedness and wholeness. And very quickly, though, that's we're kind of talked out of that. People start telling us who we are. The unfortunate thing is the people who are telling us who we are, they don't know who they are. So they're not evil, they're not bad, they're just as screwed up as we've become, okay? And so once I realize that, I go, oh. Then I realize that the let's say the unworthy messages that have come my way have come from other people who thought they were unworthy as well. And see, that's another step in the process. Not only do I embrace my woundedness, but I can embrace those who gave it to me because they were in the same pain as well. It's not their fault. And in fact, this is going to sound a little bit paradoxical because it probably is, but reclaiming my divine inheritance, like the prodigal son coming home, okay? Reclaiming the divine truth of who I am is not just going back to the way I was when I was first born or first incarnated. It's more than that. So working through my woundedness or working through my not enoughness or whatever you want to call that actually raises my level of consciousness to a higher state than it might have been before. So I come out the other side of my struggle or my acceptance or my surrender to my woundedness, I come out the other side on a higher level of consciousness than the one that I might have even begun with. So as what Wolf was getting at too, I think was, I can even look at that as being a gift because it stretches me. And I would not be stretched unless I was challenged by that negativity or by that woundedness or by that not enoughness. I would not be, unless I allowed myself to be challenged by that. So there's kind of an interesting paradox there that happens is that I wind up after my wrestling match, which always reminds me of that story of Jacob and the angel in the Old Testament, where they're wrestling with one. And you never know, I never did find out how the angel showed up, but somehow or another, Jacob and the angel are wrestling with one another. And the dawn is breaking, and the angel says, I gotta go. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. So, you know, you've busted me up, I've busted you up, you knocked my hip out of place, so I'm going to be limping the rest of my life, but I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until I've learned what I need to learn, until I'm even on a higher level of consciousness than I might have been before. That is, speak the truth does not mean you harm another. I don't like your dress is your opinion. It may be the truth of your opinion, But it's not the truth of the dress. The dress is just the dress. What you hate about it is your stuff. Doesn't have anything to do with whoever chose the dress in the first place. Your requirements to learn how to treat your fellows will be discussed at length in this text, because as we continue this teaching, you're going to be confronted again and again by your desires to harm yourselves or the ones you see before you, because it's what you have always known. The integrity of who you are, as it comes forth through this text, through the agreements you make, call to you in every instance, the ways you have supported yourself in the denial of your worth, and the climate change that you attend to in the ascension up the mountain, quite simply, requires you to attend to your worth and realize, and underline that word realize, where you fall short of your agreement to know who you are and your worth. So again, we're kind of reinforcing that. Where do I fall short of that? How am I reminded of what I need to work on, what I need to heal, what I need to transform?
I think it was really obvious in my journey that was a big part of my learning, was to resist what people, that's not the truth, to resist the messages. That's a big part of my journey here, is to see that as an untruth and to live in the truth. That's a big part of it.
You know, it's a good way to be able to do that, or to be able to detect what within me still needs working on. Mm-hmm. Is sit on your couch and hold a remote in your hand and just flip through channel by channel by channel by channel and see what grabs you into anger, fear, hatred, right? And I can remember doing this, I mean, years ago, I was flipping through. What I would catch is one of these evangelistic ministers. Now, at first, I would be really angry at that, their literalness and whatever else. But, you know, there was also another thing on the positive side that caught me. Sometimes I said, you know, I wish I could believe as strongly as they do, because they look like they got it all together. And here I'm still messing around here, right? I'm still working my way through. And then the thought came to me was, do I really want to be that sure? Or am I kind of glad that there's part of me that's not, I wouldn't say not sure, but part of me that's continually reaching and stretching and growing. I don't have it all made. It's not all here. It's still moving. And aren't I glad that it's still moving, rather than going, well, I got it all together, I'm not sure about you. Wouldn't it be interesting to think that the reason why we showed up here on Sunday morning is because we all knew we had some growing to do? Not bad, not something wrong. We showed up on Sunday morning because I got some growing to do. And I'm willing to find out more about what that's all about. Because sometimes I don't know. I usually always know I've got some growing to do, right? But sometimes I'm never quite sure exactly what it is. Now, Paul is asking, I love this. What if I don't know I'm a divine being? You say it's true whether or not I know it's true, but how do I know? I feel like I pretend when I claim these words. Now, here comes the distinction again between your ego and your personality consciousness and your Christ consciousness, your higher self. You're not telling your lower self you're a divine being. You're not saying, you know, you're not saying to your personality or to your ego consciousness, you're a divine being. That's not where the truth exists. The truth exists in affirming what it is that you already know. I wouldn't be here unless I knew myself as a divine being. I forget sometimes. But I'm not trying to convince my lower self that it's divine. It came from the divine. It can be raised up in vibration, but it's not the essence of who I am. It's that vehicle that I'm driving in right now. I feel like I pretend when I claim these. That sentence really just jumped out at me. I feel like I pretend. And the reason why I feel like I pretend is because I'm trying to get the truth from my lower consciousness, and it just doesn't work that way. My personality and my ego are a creation of my consciousness to be able to function here on planet Earth. If I didn't have one, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be able to communicate with you. It's not who I am. It's almost like confusing yourself with the car you're driving. The car I'm driving is a wonderful object, gets me from place to place to place, but it's not who I am. My ego and my personality are constructs that I use to relate to other human beings and to work things out in the material world. They're not who I am. There's still a necessity here for being here, but it's not the truth of who I am. So your car is not who you are. Still a necessity. But you never really confuse the two and say, well, that's who I am. As soon as I leave my car, then I disappear. Doesn't happen. We will reinforce this for you now. Whatever you think you are is an illusion. If it comes from up here, my brain, my intellect, it's an illusion because it's not the truth of who you are. It doesn't say it's not real. That can get really crazy after a while, what's real and what's not. Right? It's an illusion because it's not who you are. That's why it's an illusion. It's not who you are. It's not the definition of who you are. Whatever you think you are is an illusion. As I like to say, the good news is you're not who you think you are. The good news is you're not who you're told you were. I know who I am is a claim of truth. You are always a divine being, even if you don't know it. The aspect of you who does know, the I am presence, is who claims this as itself through you. In other words, you are a unique expression of divine consciousness. You can't be anything else but that. And your personality and your ego are that magical lens through which the light of the divine shines through, and it will never happen again. The aspect of you who does know, the I am presence, is who claims this as itself through you. I know what I am in this incarnation. In these exchanges that I know myself through as the divine being I am. I know how I serve. The expression of God as and through you comes as it is, not as you configure it through the intellect or through the small self. It has nothing to do with it. God serves through you because it is one with who you are. Do you understand this? It cannot serve you. You can't not be your divine self. Even Paul, Paul the evangelist, Paul, who I have some arguments with sometimes, said absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Whatever you do, whatever you think, whatever you feel, absolutely nothing can separate you from. Put in our language here, nothing can separate you from the truth of who you are. I know how I serve. The expression of God as and through you comes as it is, not as you configure it through the intellect or through the small self. God serves through you because it is one with who you are. You understand this, yes? So there is no lying here. These things are always true. And even for the atheist, it's still true. Even if you don't believe, then it's still true. I don't believe that anymore. It still didn't take away from the truth of it. You can all attend to whatever beliefs you hold. The divine as you, the spark of the creator, is ever present, even in your denial of it. You cannot lie and claim these words. They are always, always, always true. There's a poem written by in the late 19th century, I believe, written by a drug addict and alcoholic by the name of Francis Thompson. It's called The Hound of Heaven. First came across it, this is really interesting. First came across it from Bishop Sheen on television. Some of you might remember him. I remember as a little kid. And there were about three or four things that I still remember from that program. And that was one of them. One of his shows was devoted entirely to this poem called The Hound of Heaven by Francis Thompson. And the gist of it is that God is this never-resting pursuer of your soul and is going to eventually, added Marianne Williamson put it, God will eventually outsmart your self-hatred. Eventually you're gonna stop short and you're gonna have to stop running because you will be and when you stop running, you will be unconditionally loved. And so, you know, he talks about running down the alleyways and this way and that way, trying to get away from the truth of who I am. The truth of who I am, God's love, God's presence, Christ consciousness, whatever word, is eventually going to catch up with you because it is relentless. It's always there. The truth is always there, and the truth will find you no matter how far away you might get from it. A priest friend of mine told me this story about he was teaching theology at Fordham University, and he had, it was a required course because it was a Catholic school, required course for freshmen. And so, you know, there was a lot of resistance there. And you remember one kid handed in his final exam, in one of his little blue books, and said, "Do you think I'll ever find God?" And he said, "No." It sort of took him back. "But God will find you."
Jerry.
Yeah.
I think what I was thinking while you were talking was that, you know, the wounds that you receive growing up or from other people here on in the world, and then they turn around and give you this birthday card that tells you how great you are, how much they love you, you know, and I resist that. But I don't resist it when I know, because I know God loves me. I think that's a part of my journey, is to see the truth here in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, his truth has to exist here to heal my wounds. And I just lay cards down and say, thank you. I just can't believe from people here in this world, they act one way, but they say something different, that it's real, that it's an untruth. Maybe that's my lower self, like you say, my lower consciousness can accept. But my higher can.
See, that's another level of truth that we're reaching for. Put in very simple language, for me anyway. Everybody's doing the best they can. Don't look that way. Doesn't appear that way. I don't react to them that way. But everybody's doing the best they can do. All of a sudden, my focus changes.
Yeah, Jerry?
Yeah.
Yes, just according along that same line, the things that have happened that are baggage for me if I don't feel accepted or whatnot. It seems like the principle here is that if I'm not feeling accepted, I need to give acceptance to other people, and then I become filled with acceptance. If I'm not feeling I'm a divine child of God, teaching or reminding others that they're a divine child of God fills me with the knowing that I'm a divine child of God. This thing about, like what St. Francis said, not focusing so much whether or not I'm loved, comforted, and understood and accepted, turning that around, putting that out to people, and then I become somehow filled with that very same thing, like teaching what I need to learn, giving, and then I will receive it. I think sometimes the difficulties in my life are for me to learn that principle of giving, and then I become filled with, particularly like, not trying to change people, but accepting them to where they are, reminding them about strengths, and then I become feeling accepted, and then I become filled with strengths. That's just what comes to mind for me.
It's good.
Okay, it
It's
sounds like
good,
you
great.
found a way to be able to kind of turn that around for yourself.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Also, Greg, that was really powerful what you talked about. Thank you. That thought crossed by accepting others the way they are and giving, thinking of them instead of yourself, you actually are accepting yourself because what you're seeing out there is you. By changing yourself.
Well, the way
It really tied in quite nicely what everyone said there. And that was, again, very powerful, Greg, that we don't stop and give out the very thing we're wanting more. Thank you.
a friend of mine in Al-Anon put it this way, talking about Carl Jung's shadow side. If you spot it, you got it. So whatever I'm reacting to in somebody else negatively, right, is something inside of me that probably needs healing. Difficult thing to accept sometimes, but that's my resistance. If you spot it, you got it. And once you spot it and realize you got it, then as Greg was pointing out, you can start embracing it. And as Wolf was pointing out as well, you can start embracing it. Oh. It's not a bad thing about me. It's something, it's another piece of my woundedness that is coming to the surface, asking to be healed. I'm going to do one more paragraph and then I'm going to do a meditation because I'm going to have to leave a little bit early. And I might, excuse me, I need to let you know that we're going to be out of town next week, next Sunday. So we'll not be broadcasting Sunday, but we will be back the Sunday after that, okay?
Jerry, I just wanted to say that that's one of the words I picked up on today, acceptance.
Yeah, thank you.
Acceptance.
Let me just close with this one here. Now, when you attend to the self as the one climbing the mountain, you come with some suppositions. I will know myself as I am supposed to know myself. Excuse me. Earlier, we said you need to welcome the new, and we release the self and put the new shoes on you so you may have a new experience of what you see and what may be claimed. We show you now what may be witnessed from a higher vantage point. So perhaps we can, oops, I'm not sure how that wound up there. Let's just say that we can end our reading with the prayer, Lord, that I may see. May I see the way you see. May I respond the way you respond. May I go beyond my thoughts and my feelings to recognizing the truth of who I am and the truth of who you are. Excuse me. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, take a couple of breaths. And one of the lessons that I learned here this morning is that even though my love of myself or my recognition of the truth of who I am is not complete or finished or perfect, sometimes the best I can do is turn down the volume on my judgment. Is to be a little bit more gentle with myself, a little bit kinder, a little bit softer. Simply put, as somebody mentioned earlier this morning, to treat myself as the same way I would want to be treated myself. Or even treating myself the same loving respect that I treat others with. So let yourself get comfortable with your breathing. Soften. And get a sense of the higher vibration that you occupy at this moment, beyond the realm of thought, perhaps even beyond the realm of feeling. I am. I embrace my I am-ness. I allow myself to be embraced by my I am-ness. I know there is no such thing as my I am-ness. I am-ness encompasses everyone and everything. It's no one's exclusive territory. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. And open your eyes when you're ready. Does anybody have any closing thoughts?
Do we have class on Tuesday, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Wow.
Safe travels.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas, all. Be safe.
Take good care.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Namaste to you all.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah.
Thank you. You.
See you guys.
Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all.